I have something special this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
The Word of God.
Praise God.
I assume that there's people here that wanted to be here.
Yes.
There's probably some folks here that really didn't want to be here. But I would suggest that we pay real close attention to what God has to say today.
Yes.
Our eternal souls may depend on it. I'd like to read some scripture in our hearing. It's found in the 6th chapter of Matthew. I'll begin reading in the 19th verse. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now I know we read a lot of scripture, but Jesus can always say things better than I can. So he is speaking to us here, ending his, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And he's telling us about life. He's telling us how that we are should approach life. And reminding us that he is well able to take care of us. He's well able to do that. I brought a little visual with me this morning that I want to use in my little message today. I brought a rope. I want everyone to see this rope. It's got an end to it. But I want to talk about our eternal existence. When you and I begin to have a heartbeat in our mother's womb, we begin to exist in this world.
Yes, sir.
Life came into our being. That was the beginning, wasn't it?
Yes.
And now we are in this world. Some of us are a long ways down the journey of this life. Some are just beginning. We're all facing our own circumstances, dealing with our own issues of life. But I want us to stop for just a moment this morning and consider our life. When I consider this rope and all of this as being part of my existence, and I want us to look at this little red line here that I painted on this rope. That's our life right here. That represents where we are now. Life in this time's world, it's really pretty short compared to all the rest, isn't it? Really doesn't last very long compared to eternity. And yet we were made for an eternal existence, every one of us. And the Lord is telling us here in His Word, He said, don't lay things up for yourselves. Seek first the kingdom of God. I want to put in perspective, by the help of the Lord this morning, the things that are really important in this part of our existence. This is life. This is time here on earth. The rest of it is an unknown to us. We don't really know. None of us ever been out in eternity. And it's an unknown to us. But it's much, much longer than life here on earth. The temporary life that you and I have here on earth. And the contrast that Jesus is giving us here is to consider the spiritual side of your being and not the material side of this life. And I want us to consider very deeply this morning. You and I need to have some priorities in this part of our existence. This is the time when you and I have the right, God-given right, and the ability to make choices. I remember being a young man and making choices for my life. Some of them were not such good choices. Some of them got me in a lot of trouble. Some of them caused me to go far away from God. We make choices, every one of us. And whether we like it or not, we're going to be responsible, held responsible for the choices that we make. And yet we spend an awful lot of time in what Jesus is talking about here in our reading this morning. We worry about tomorrow. We stress about this. And we stress about that. We spend a lot of time stressing about the unknown. I see a lot of young people here this morning. And I tell you, folks, young folks, you don't know what life has in store for you.
That's right.
But you have choices to make. You have considerations to make. And you need to make those choices with consideration for your eternal existence. Because it will never end. It will never stop. Your eternal existence will be somewhere out there in eternity. May the Lord help us here today.
Yes.
We have a tendency, as we deal with life, living here, it's human tendency, human nature. We get a little earthbound sometimes. We live like we're going to be here forever, but we're not going to be here forever. This temporary life that we are living now, it's going to come to an end someday. Many people that you've known and that I've known and that we've loved dearly have already gone on to the other end of this thing. Already gone on, but there's no ending to eternity, to our eternal existence. But once life began in our mother, in our mother's womb, we will live forever. Somewhere. Someplace. And we have this amount of time to make a choice of where we're going to live in eternity. We're not going to spend eternity, are we? Eternity cannot be spent. Because it goes on and on and on and on, and there's no end to it. Eternity. And I want you to think about that some here this morning. Let's not get earthbound here. Let's not live like that we're going to live here forever, because we're not. Some people are getting their big houses and big mansions and their fancy cars. And if you can afford it, I guess it's all right. But folks, it's temporary. All of this world and all the things of this world is fuel for the burning. We talk about standing on the promises of God. Let me give you another promise that God gave us. Jesus said, I will return. I will come back someday. That's a promise. For such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Jesus said that. He's coming back someday. So you and I, considering our eternal existence, our forever. You're alive now, and you'll always be alive. Not in this world, but in eternity. In the life to come. The soul never dies, does it? The soul lives on forever. Now God has breathed in every one of us the breath of life. And we became a living soul. And that soul is going to rest in God's care someday. Paul said, we will give an account of the deeds that is done in this body, whether they be evil or whether they be good. We're going to give an account. For this little time, and I made it only that long to show you, in comparison to forever. Folks, I know it's kind of hard to wrap our minds around it, especially the young folks, kind of hard to wrap your mind around it. I'm beginning to see it and starting to look more over to the other side myself. But folks, I remember being young once. I remember feeling like I got a long time and I can do this and I can do that. But we don't really have a promise of that, do we? We don't really have a hope. We don't know. Even the young people don't know how old they're going to be, how long they're going to live in this part of life. I got a call one time, several years ago, 19-year-old young man in a congregation down in Kentucky. They said that they asked me to come down and preach his funeral. 19 years old. Him and his buddy riding up the highway one night. The deer jumped out in front of him, and his buddy was driving, and he jerked the steering wheel to the left, and they hit a semi head on and went out into eternity to meet God. We don't know when that's going to happen. Yet we spend a lot of our time and a lot of our life, and it's natural. It's human of us. We're human. And we live here. We got to eat. We got to have clothes. We got to have jobs. We got to do things. And I understand that. But I want us to put our priorities, folks, this morning on this part of our existence. That's what I'd like for us to think about for just a little bit. That we think about the time that is yet to come. The time after I draw my last breath. The time when I can no more make any more choices for my life and for myself. The Bible says, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. That means that as I leave this world, and how I stand before God when I leave this world is the way that I will stand before God when I come into His presence.
That's right.
On the other side. And that will determine my eternal existence. What is our priorities today? I hope, and I know this is hard, I really do. It's hard for young people especially. But I want all of us to consider the priorities that we have in life today. What's important? What do we put the importance on in our life? Folks, do you know that if I harbor things like unforgiveness, if I harbor bitterness or whatever it may be that I harbor in my heart, when I get to the grave, none of that's going to matter anymore. Those things that we thought was so important, those things that we was holding so dear, when I get into the grave, none of that will matter anymore. I will go on to this part of my existence, the eternal existence. I'll be in God's hands. I'll have made my choices. I'll have set my priorities. I'll have done what I wanted to do. I'll have done it my way. But someday I'm going to give an account to one that says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And I'm going to do it His way someday. This message that I have this morning. The Lord wants to prepare us for a life to come. Not just this life. Not just where we are now. If we could draw in our minds and think beyond today and consider tomorrow, the unknowns. If we could do those things, Jesus said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Each and every day of our lives has its own set of challenges. It has its own set of troubles. And we are to responsibly handle the things that we have to face in this life. But what about tomorrow? How are we going to deal with tomorrow? The unknowns. Don't know how long, I don't know when my last tomorrow is going to be. How am I going to deal with it? How am I going to deal with it? Matthew, the 19th chapter, in the 16th verse. Matthew 19 and 16. I like to use this fella because he had the right idea about his eternal existence. In 19 and 16, it says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Let's get something straight here this morning. It is of no goodness of ours. It's no good thing that you and I can do to inherit eternal life. The gift of God that brought salvation to all men is what gives us eternal life. If we leave this world without Jesus Christ in our heart and life, without accepting Him as our Lord and Savior, folks, I'll tell you where your eternal existence is going to be. It's not going to be in God's heaven. There's two places there, isn't there? Two places that we hear about, heaven and hell. Although today some folks are saying there is no hell, no such thing as hell. Some are saying there's no such thing as heaven. Jesus talked about both of them, folks, and I believe with all my heart, soul, that there's a heaven and a hell.
Yes. Amen.
Waiting for the souls of men.
Yes.
But we have priorities. This is the time when we make our preparation. And this young man, he was making some preparation for his eternal existence. He was thinking beyond where he was now. And he said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life," he's talking about eternal life, "keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Those pretty much the Ten Commandments, aren't they? Part of them. The Ten Commandments. The young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Are we willing to ask the Lord, "What lack I yet?" Are we willing this morning to ask the Lord, "Lord, am I coming short somewhere? Do I have a lack somewhere?" Folks, I'm talking about something that is the most serious to every one of us. And that is where we're going to be in eternity. "What lack I yet?" And Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. Give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You know, I've known many people in my lifetime that have sat under the sound of the gospel, as you are today. I've known many people in my lifetime that have been convicted by the Holy Spirit of the needs that they have. I've known many people that when they went on away and walked away from this and went out into the world and began to do the deeds and the things that they were doing, they knew that they shouldn't be doing those things. But the enemy had them doing it anyway. This man, when he found out that he had to give it all, he had to sell it all, and he said, "And come and follow me." He didn't say he had to give it all away. He didn't say he couldn't have a little something for himself. He said here, if thou will be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven. Folks, that's where we want our treasure, isn't it? To be in heaven. But how much time, really, do people spend thinking about the time after they leave here? The time they draw their last breath. I have preached so many funerals in my life. Stood over so many bodies of people that came to the end of this part of their existence and are now out there in eternity somewhere in the presence of God. I know it's going to happen. I know it's going to come, but I don't know when. But those things are in God's hands, aren't they? It's my place to prepare. This is a time of preparation, folks. It's a time to get ready to meet God, because at the end of every man's life, there's God.
Amen.
You're going to meet God, every one of us, at the end of every man's life. I want us to consider very seriously this morning some of these things. I'd like to look at another scripture where Jesus is speaking here. It's very common. A very familiar scripture, 14th chapter of John. This text has been read at many a cemetery to comfort the family. It's been read at many funerals. But I want to read it here this morning. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When you leave this part of your existence, don't you want to be with Him?
Yes, amen.
He went to prepare a place for people that are prepared to come there. And you and I have this much time to prepare to go to that place that He's going to prepare for us. And the responsibility falls individually on each and every one of us. I can't make the decision for you, and you can't make the decision for me. But Jesus has made it plainly that there's two ways to eternity. And He said, He is the way to everlasting life. He's the way. He is the one that if we'll follow Him and we'll accept Him and trust Him and believe in Him, that there's a place called heaven, that we can be there forever in the presence of God. We can have the eternal hope. We can have the eternal fellowship with God Himself and with God's people. We can have those things. We can have eternal peace. We call it eternal life.
Yes.
That we have in His Son Jesus. What's it going to take here to enjoy that? It's going to take a life of service for you and I. A life of growth. A life of worshiping God. Folks, that ought to be our priorities.
Yes.
That ought to be the desires of our heart this morning. We need to put more into those things. We put a lot in how that we live and what we eat and where we go and what we do. We need to put a little more in our eternal soul. We need to make a greater investment in our eternal souls. Because it's never ending. Goes on forever. Well, there's another place, and I want to talk about that place. It's a place that I don't want to go. It's called hell. Jesus talked probably more about hell when He was here than He did heaven. Hell is real. And Jesus spoke of it. Hell is a place, He said, where the soul never dies.
That's right.
And the fire is not quenched. Do you believe in a place like that?
Yes.
You do? You believe that there's a place where there's fire and brimstone? You believe there's a place that the soul never dies? Eternal existence, folks. It doesn't matter which one you go to. You'll be there forever. Once you get there, you'll be there forever. There's no coming back. There's no turning back.
Yes.
There's no getting in this place called hell and saying, "Oh God, give me one more opportunity to accept the call and I'll come and be saved." There's none of that going to be in hell. There's a lot of torment going to be in hell. There are going to be people in hell that's going to wish that they had the opportunity to come back to this time of their existence and make a change, make some changes in their life. There's going to be people that'll want to do that.
Yeah.
Hell is a reward of the consequences of our choices of life. It's a reward of the consequences. It's a consequence of choices, poor choices that we make in this part of our life, in this part of our existence. I want us to look, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to go read a bunch of scriptures. But I want you to look at the rich man. We know the story. The Bible says Lazarus died and the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom and said the rich man died also. Then what is it, 16th chapter of Luke? The rich man died also. And it said that when he died, being in torments, he lifted up his eyes. Folks, that's not a good place to get your eyes open when you get in torment. It's a little too late. Here's where we need to get our eyes open right now. We need to understand that you and I are designed. We've been designed to accept a higher being. We've been designed to accept the Son of God into our heart and life. And we must do that before we leave this part of our existence. Because if we die without a Savior, we'll be lost forever. And we all needed a Savior.
Yes.
People talk about the Virgin Mary, the mother of Jesus, and they lift her up pretty high sometimes. But I want to tell you something about Mary. She needed a Savior too.
Yes.
We all needed a Savior, folks. We all need a Savior this morning. And that rich man, he died. And when he died, it said, being in torments, he lifted up his eyes. Oh, and he saw Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. He saw him over there in that land of peace, in that land of joy. And he was in such torment. He was burning and suffering. And folks, he's still there today.
That's right.
He asked Abraham to send Lazarus down and give him a drop of water to cool his tongue. What good is that going to do? Folks, when you're desperate, you'll take anything.
Right.
When you're desperate, you'll take any relief that you can get. There's no relief in hell, folks. There's no opportunity to get that drop of water. He's still wanting it, but he's never gotten it. And Abraham says, "Can't send him to you if I could. Because there's a great gulf fixed between us. He can't pass over that gulf. There's a chasm there that he cannot pass over. And I can't send him to you." Do you know where that gulf came from? We're building it right now. In this part of our existence, as we reject the Lord, as we go our own way, as we do our own thing, live life the way we want to live it, do it the way we want to do it, we're building a wider and a wider gulf. And when we get over to the other side and find ourselves in torment, there's a great and wide gulf between us and those that are enjoying eternal peace and joy and happiness. Forever. This is all forever. It's hard to wrap your mind around it. I understand that. That's part of the reason why I got this rope here that shows us we got time. But then we got this time that never ends. That rich man got over there and he realized there was no hope for him. There was going to be no change for him. And he said, "Well, would you send Lazarus back to my brothers? I got five brothers over there. And I want you to warn them because I don't want them to come to this place. There ain't nobody there today that wants their loved ones to go to that place. Folks, that's a lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. You know what brimstone is? They use sulfur in some of the weapons that in the military. And when sulfur hits the body, it just keeps burning and burning and burning and burning. And they can't stop the burning. There'll be no stopping the burning. Now, many people ask this question. Why would God, that is a God of love, send someone to a place like that? You ever heard that one? I have. God doesn't send anyone anywhere. You see, this right here is the time to make the choice of where we want to go. We make the right choice, God will accept us into His heaven. We make the wrong choice and we send ourselves to a lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. And Jesus said, where the soul never dies. Never dies, folks. We were born. Every one of us in here today were born for an eternal existence. There's no stopping this. We will live forever. And yet we have this much time to make choices where we're going to be in eternity. The rich man didn't make very good choices, did he? He put his priority in the wrong places. He didn't prepare himself. He didn't get ready. Lazarus got ready. And Lazarus now was enjoying eternal blessings. It's our choice. Choice is a powerful thing, isn't it? It's powerful for us to be able to make the choice whether I will or whether I won't. Oh, we can tell mommy and daddy sometimes whether we will or whether we won't. It's not like we're not talking to mommy and daddy here. We're talking to God. We're talking to the sovereign God. The one that controls everything. The one that's going to have the final say. The one that says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Even whether we accept Him or not, we will confess that Jesus was the Son of God. There's people today that say, I don't believe in God. People don't believe in Jesus. One day they will. There won't be any of those kind of people in eternity, folks. After they've met Him, they'll believe in Him. And we're all going to meet Him someday. The rich man. I want us to think about something else here today. I want to turn over to the book of Revelation. Third chapter. Jesus, well, not in the third chapter, but in the second chapter, Jesus was talking to the church at Ephesus. I want us all to consider something here. He told them, let's read the second chapter here in the first verse, second verse. I know thy works, thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. He has borne and has patience for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. As we go along life's way, every one of us need to check and be sure that we haven't lost our first love. That we haven't lost the divine love of God out of our hearts. We need that, folks. We must have it. But as was quoted the other night, Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Are you going to allow the world around you to cause your love to wax cold? To turn away from the Lord? It's our choice. It's our decision to make. And we need to have a reality check from time to time. All of us. All of us. When I say that, I'm including myself. All of us need to have a reality check from time to time. Because, folks, this gets real. Life gets real important to you and I when we realize we're coming down to the end and we're about to draw our last breath. It gets real important. I've seen people that lived a terrible life, a filthy life, and did what they wanted to do. But when they come down to die, it's, oh, God, have mercy on me. Some people don't always get that opportunity. Some people don't always get that chance. God, have mercy on me. Why is it that when we come down and realize that we're about to go to this part of our existence, that we then start calling on God when we needed Him all the time? We need Him all the time. Check your love.
Yes, Lord.
Now where I want to go is the third chapter. In the 15th verse. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot or cold. I would that thou wert hot or cold. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Lord, help us today. I'm convinced that we all have enough intelligence and enough understanding to know where we are along life's way. To know where we are with God. Some people fool themselves. Some people tell themselves things they know is not true. Some people try to ignore it. Oh, I've seen people try to ignore this. But when they come down to die, they didn't try to ignore it. They were calling on God. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, or increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Is it possible to think, oh, we got everything all right? I got everything all right. I got everything just the way that I want it to be. Do you? The Lord here reminded them that when you say that you're in rich and increased with goods and don't need anything, He said, I'm going to tell you that you don't know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You see, Jesus looks right down into the very motives and the interior of our hearts. He knows right where we're living. He knows our makeups. He knows our personalities. He knows all about us. It's a reality check this morning, folks, for every one of us. Check our hearts. Check our lives. Check our consecration. Check where we are along life's way. Because we're going to meet the Lord someday. That is for certain. That is for certain. Then He said, He gave him some counsel. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that at the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint your eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now here's the verse. Listen to it closely. Jesus said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Get a picture of the door in your mind. You're on one side of the door. Jesus is on the other. And He's knocking. Let me in. The doorknob is on your side. It's not on His side. You're the one that is responsible to open the door. He said, I stand and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. I believe that we're hearing the voice of the Lord this morning. I believe God wants to talk to every one of us. I believe He wants every one of us to search ourselves and see where we are along life's way. Because we're going to meet God. There's a heaven. There's a hell. And it's forever. I wish there was a better way that I could get your mind wrapped around forever. You know, that rich man, he can't come back. He's there and he can't come back. He can't cry out and say, Lord, oh, if you'll give me one more opportunity, just let me hear one more message, I'll run to that altar and get saved and give my life to you. There's no more opportunity for him. But there is us. You know, there's people that we've seen. One person in particular that most of us are familiar with his name, that I just really don't understand all of it. But I do understand the hatefulness and the meanfulness of the enemy of our souls. And he's after every one of us every day. If he can get us so busy, if he can get our minds on other things besides our souls, we lose our first love. We can lose, let desire become leaking out of our heart. If the enemy can do that, you know, he figures, I don't have to do this overnight. I got their whole life to work on them while they're here in this time's world. I got their whole life. I think about a man that wrote a lot of the songs in our book, Brother D.O. Teasley. And I can't fully comprehend all of that. Can you? I can't fully comprehend the man that wrote some of the blessed songs in our book that were anointed by the Holy Spirit that God had given him. And to think of the grace of God and all the things that he wrote in those songs that are so precious to us today. And somewhere along his life's way, the enemy didn't give up. Doesn't matter that he was a preacher. It doesn't matter that he was highly educated. He was a lawyer. Had a great mind. And he had a love for God. And somehow, somewhere along the way, along this way, he lost the love of God out of his heart. He lost the love of God out of his heart. It's chilling to me to think. They say that when he came down to die, he did not want the name of God mentioned in his presence. How can that possibly be, folks? It's chilling to me to think that any of us will stand in the presence of Almighty God without fear and trembling upon our hearts. How can we face God any other way? This is God, the Creator, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And yet here's a man that wrote the song Eternity. When time speeds forward on to eternity, and he saw it all in his mind's eye and didn't want to hear the name of God. Do you know how cruel the enemy is that we're dealing with today? That we're fighting today? Our children, our families, and our loved ones. Do you know how cruel he is? He'll get them in all kinds of trouble and sit back and laugh at them. He'll make a fool out of them and sit back and laugh at them.
That's right.
He'll get them in so much trouble in their life they don't know how to get out of trouble. He'll get them so high on drugs and alcohol and things like that they don't know where they are, and he'll sit back and laugh at them. Because he wants to destroy the soul of man. He set out to prove that a long time ago. Eternity. This man wrote another song in our book. I'd like for us to sing it if you know it. It's number 383. It's called Drifting Away from Jesus. And I wonder, as I have read the words to that song, was he leaving the Lord then? Was he losing his desire and his love then? To write a song like that, drifting away from Jesus. See, drifting implies it didn't happen overnight. It happened over time. And that's the way it can happen to you and I, if we're not careful. It can happen over time. Eternity is a state that comes after death. And it never ends. The writer, the songwriter in our book, the song that's been sung over the nation and over the world, speaks about When I've been there 10,000 years, I've only just begun. 10,000 years, nothing, is it? I've only just begun. Only just begun if we go to heaven to sing God's praise and to sing God's love when I've been there 10,000 years. Folks, it's real. It's coming upon every one of us. It'll get here sooner than you think, some of us. It'll get here sooner than you think. It gets up on us pretty fast, doesn't it? Pretty quick. May the Lord help us today. Consider our souls. Our soul's existence. Where we're going to dwell in eternity. Right now, choice is ours. When we die, we give an accountability to the choices that we've made. May the Lord help us, each and every one.